Hello, this is Will Hardy with Man Talk Radio. We are all about breaking down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few minutes. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Finishing Well is a general discussion and education of the issues facing retirees. CardinalGuide.com, Cardinal Advisors, and Hans Scheil, CFP, sell insurance. This show does not offer investment products or investment advice. Welcome to Finishing Well with my good friend and certified financial planner, Hans Scheil. Today's show, Hidden Treasure. And you might go, what's that? Or, you know, well, Jesus in Matthew 13, you might remember, told the story about this man. He found a hidden treasure out in the field. And he went, wow. And he went and sold everything he had with joy. And he went and bought that field. Well, of course he did. Well, to put that in practical terms, when it comes to hidden treasure, you know, for me personally, this is Robbie's story. If you'd have known me in 1990, I was a car salesman. I worked for the Crown Organization. If somebody, and I had a Bible that was given to me, actually, when I graduated from sixth grade, that I never could throw away because I figured there was some kind of voodoo involved. Or there was some hex, if you know, you actually threw it in the trash. But I had it in my possession. And if you'd have walked up to me and you said, Robbie, I've got $50. Do you mind if I buy that Bible right there? I'd have sold it to you before your head turned. Because from a standpoint of the basis, the value of what I would have thought that Bible was worth to me at that point in time was way less than $50. But today, here in 2021, that very Bible I still own, you could not, there would be no way you could A, buy that Bible, nor more importantly, would you be able to have any concept of what the value of the Word of God is to me and my life. And it's like totally a hidden treasure. And so interestingly today, Hans, you've got what we're calling a step up in basis. That was a term that actually an hour ago, I had no idea what it meant. But once I did, I understood, wow, the Bible, from my standpoint, had this huge step up in basis. But in order to do that, we got to cover our basis and start up with what's a basis.
Yeah. I mean, when you go to your CPA or your accountant or the person that prepares your taxes, and you've sold something, what's called a capital asset, like a farm, or a piece of land, or some stock, you know, if you own some stock for several years and now you've sold it, and you go to your accountant and say, well, I got to pay tax on the gain. The first thing the accountant is going to want to know or help you calculate is what's your basis in that stock or in that land? How much did you pay to acquire that land? Because you're not going to have to pay tax again on the money you put into a capital asset. So the taxes are due on the amount it has appreciated. You say, well, what are you talking about this on a senior driven, retirement driven radio show that's for average people typically? And most people that are very well to do that come into me as clients, they still describe themselves as average people, even poor people, when and maybe they are in their own mind, but they're, as far as finances go, this is a big deal that I want you to learn about, okay? And so what we're going to talk about today is the step up in basis that happens after you die, okay? So if you hold an asset until you pass away and then you pass it on to your children or your spouse or your nephews and nieces. If you give it to the church, this really doesn't matter because the church isn't going to have to pay taxes on the gain. But a step up in basis means that, but let me just give an example. Let's say you have an office building that you bought 20 years ago for $100,000. And today, that same office building is worth $400,000. And it may be a substantial piece of your assets. Maybe you ran a business in there. Anyhow, you own it. Your basis is $100,000 and the worth is $400,000 and you're thinking about selling it. And if you sold it while you're alive, you would have a gain of $300,000 on that asset and you would have to pay capital gains taxes on that whole $300,000 pretty quickly after the sale. And so the difference is if you held that asset until your death, your children inherited this office building, their basis, tax basis, would be have stepped up at your death to $400,000. So if they sold that after you passed away for $400,000, or $420,000, say, they would only have to pay taxes on a capital gain of $20,000 if it was worth $400,000 on the date of your death. That's what basis is. The same thing with stock. If you bought 100 shares of a stock at $10 a share and you put $1,000 into it many years ago and you now sell it for $100 a share and it's $10,000, and you've had a capital gain of $9,000, and you're going to have to pay taxes on that. If you hold it until your death and then make a bequest to your children are going to inherit that with a basis of $10,000 and so on and so forth. So,
but they don't have to, because of the step up in basis on your death, your children, were they to sell that stock, you know, for the $10,000, and there's the hidden treasure. Right? Is that at your death, the hidden treasure is the step up in basis that your beneficiaries get tax free.
Yeah. So the motto in this is if we can afford to, and we don't need the money for something else, and when we're doing estate planning for folks, it doesn't matter how small this is. This could be an inherent $30,000 gain that if you simply hold that asset until your death and then give it to your children or your spouse or whoever inherits it, that gain and the taxes due on that are going to be wiped away through the step up in basis. So it applies to a lot of things. And before I move on to your personal residence, because that's handled a little bit differently under a different exception, I just want to talk in the political rhetoric. And when you're reading about just in the news and you're reading and listening, you know, they're all talking about raising taxes on rich people. I mean, that's a lot of thing. Oh, we're going to raise taxes, but we're not going to raise taxes on anybody that makes less than $400,000 a year. Okay. And I'm just sitting here listening to this and I don't get angry or upset or about any of this stuff because it's just talk. It takes a lot to change the tax code. I'm just, you know, when it was done back 4 years ago, that took a lot, and it took a lot of people coming together and compromising on things. So first of all, I'm bringing up some political rhetoric only because you folks are listening to it, and, you know, I'm just going to break it down a little bit. So first, you may have heard the step up in basis because they're talking about they have a desire to eliminate the step up in basis. And if they do that, the step up in basis at death, if they do that, it's going to affect a whole lot of people that have way less than $400,000 a year of income. I mean, it's like your mother or grandmother who may be very old and she may be sitting on something that's substantially appreciated. You know, I got some clients that have they inherited a beach house. I mean, these people are almost 70 years old, and the lady's father passed away like 3 years ago, and the mother passed away like 6 months ago. And it sounds like they had things set up pretty well, but they're telling me that this beach house in Rhode Island is worth about $800,000. And it probably tells me, and by the way, their half of that $800,000 that they're going to get is probably 80% of these people's net worth. I mean, they don't have but another $100,000 besides their income and all that to retire. So this is a big deal to them. And she's in a disagreement with her sister of whether they ought to sell it right away. The sister thinks they ought to rent it. And I don't think so. I mean, just becoming a landlord all of a sudden at 69 years old is not. And then they're going to have to put money into it, which they don't have. And so the sister is using the reason to do it as a rental to avoid paying taxes, because she's worked under the conclusion that there's a big tax bill and due. And there's not, because
the step up in basis, right? Upon the mother's death, then they now have taken this beach house up with a free step up in basis. And so, wow, they can sell it and take the income without any tax.
And just take the money. We're going to, you know, we're going to just put it in their bank account first, and then we're going to invest some of it to secure their retirement. But, you know, what I want people to get out of this is a big deal. Even if you've got your mother or father or you yourself have an asset and the appreciated part of it is only $30,000 or something, is if your mother or father or you were to sell it while you're alive, or you're thinking of selling it, if you would hold it to your death, you're going to avoid some taxes on the appreciation as it goes to the next generation. So this is at the very least a consideration when we're sitting down with people who are up there in years and we're doing estate planning, is we want to look at all, you know, what's the basis in all the capital assets. And then what would the tax be due now if we sold them now? What would it be in a couple of years? And then what would it be if you held that until you died?
Right. Not to mention that, you know, as you're listening to these politicians' rhetoric, you know, pay close attention. Oh, we're not going to hurt any of the regular people, but we're going to eliminate the step-up in basis. Whoa, it's time to send out a little letter to that representative and say, you know, hey, this isn't my idea of no tax, no raising in taxes. So
the biggest people that it's going to affect are farms that are still owned by grandma or grandpa. They haven't passed yet. And grandma and grandpa's basis in that thing is really low because they inherited it or bought it many years ago. Or a small business people that own a little mom and pop business or something, and it may not even be a super valuable business, and the kids could be in there running it, but mom still owns it. And then when she passes away, under the current law, and I don't see this really changing anytime, I don't care what they're saying, that the current law, there's going to be a step up in basis. That actually could be why she still owns it, because if she gave it or sold it to the kids, they think there'd be a big tax bill due. And so there are very average people that are affected by this step up in basis, and it's probably just a good idea to understand it.
So again, today's show is The Hidden Treasure. I'm hoping you can see what we're talking about here. We're going to talk about it more when we come back. In the meantime, you can always get Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. You can just go to cardinalguide.com, find out more about that, or email us with any information that we can certainly help you with. We'll be right back. Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com. Welcome back to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today's show, Hidden Treasure. We're talking about a step up in basis, and hopefully if you're just tuning in, you might want to go back and get the podcast to listen to what a step up in basis is. But carrying on the conversation, you know, we don't want to confuse folks that this doesn't have to do with their primary residence.
Yeah, I mean, when I take many clients coming in, I don't want to use the word most, but many clients, they own their residence. I'm talking about people that are 65, 68, even some people in their early 70s that are getting around to financial planning. They own their residence or they own part of it because they got a mortgage, but a lot of them own the whole thing because they planned well. And then they generally have some IRA money, or they the money they do have is typically in an IRA or a 401k or something. And neither one of those assets apply to what we talked about in the first part of the show. So in other words, you don't get any step up in or freebie for taxes or hidden treasure if you die with a substantial balance in your IRA. If your beneficiary wants to get anything out of there, they're going to have a big tax bill of ordinary income taxes. But the same is not true for your house. So if you sell your primary residence during your lifetime, and that's defined by the IRS as if you, that has been your primary residence two of the last 5 years, and then you sell it while you're alive, you don't owe any taxes on the first $250,000 of gain.
And for couples, it's $500,000?
It is, because they each get it. They have to have both lived there two of the last 5 years. So couples, they get a $500,000 exemption. And many clients I have that really weren't looking at taxes. They just wanted to be rid of the house, or they're moving in with their kids, or they're relocating to a much less expensive home in a different area. There's people have all kinds of reasons to sell their home in retirement. And they're thinking, the way homes have appreciated, especially lately, they've just been thinking all along that, you know, this home, I know it's going to bring $350,000. I only paid $100,000 for it, or $125,000 or something. And they're just thinking there's a big tax bill coming. And I'm telling you, there's nothing, because you can earn $250,000 of gain on the sale of your principal residence. And you could do this really essentially every 2 years. There's a bunch of builders that this is part of, home builders, that they actually move in and live into one of the homes that they built. And then they live there for 2 years. And at the end of the 2 years, they sell it and they have a $500,000 exclusion on the gain. I mean, it's a little, people in the home building business actually work this, but we're not really talking to them today. We're talking to people, you just live in your house and now you're going to sell it. You don't have to get into this hold till death basis and all this kind of planning. You can sell it.
Both of us being at this age, I mean, we both realized something we didn't when we were 40, is that you don't need all those rooms anymore. You know, you're like, why am I maintaining all this space and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, so why do I need all that? Why do I want to pay, you know, property tax on all that? And so, you know, this too is a hidden treasure. Like, man, I can get up to $500,000 in tax exemption if I sell my primary residence. And what a time to do it, by the way, because homes are just going for like never before.
Well, sure. And a lot of people are considering that. If somebody's listening, I don't want anybody to go out and start making financial moves based upon listening to this show. The real thing we're doing with the show is I wanted to teach you today what the step up in basis at death, what that really is, and how it affects just average people, and then how it affects what I would call well-to-do people, but many of them don't like me calling them well-to-do because they consider themselves very average, normal people, but they've just accumulated some stuff. And if they have something other than their home and other than their IRA that has some substantial appreciation to it, we may want to consider. I'm not saying in all cases hold this thing till death and then your kids won't have to pay any capital gains taxes. That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying here is, as a consideration in estate planning and financial planning, retirement planning, we may want to hold on to some things other than the home and the IRA till death. Now I'm going to completely flip gears on you. If you have a married couple who files jointly and their combined income is lower than $80,000 a year, do you know what the capital gains tax rate is for those people?
I don't. I know you're shocked.
It's 0%.
Well, ooh, I definitely didn't know that. Another hidden treasure. I like that.
So if grandma's income is $40,000 a year and she's got a capital asset that she's holding on to till death, and maybe the inherent capital gain is $50,000 or something, she can sell that now. And when we do the calculations at tax time, she's going to have a $50,000 gain if, you know, that's what it was. And then her tax rate on that, her federal tax rate, is going to be zero. Now, North Carolina's, if she lives in North Carolina, is going to come in and get her for like 5% or something. But still, there's other ways, there's many ways, let's put it this way, to avoid capital gains taxes or to keep the rates low, splitting up sales. But in estate planning, this is a consideration. It's a big consideration. And then it's not real clear what you should do with certain things tax-wise. And I found myself, as I was preparing to do the radio show, you know, as you know, Robbie, I prepare a video which later goes on YouTube. So like this one will be up next week. And it is the preparation for the show. And I found myself talking to myself when I was reading it this morning or watching it. And I'm thinking that what I was telling myself, essentially, or telling all the listeners, and which I tell clients all the time, don't let taxes and tax consequences, tax strategies, drive your decision-making. That this really shouldn't be the first thing we should talk about. Like if we're talking to grandma about selling her house, taxes should not be the whole reason we do that, or even a big part of the reason. I mean, if she wants to sell the house, she's got to have a reason for wanting to sell the house. Like you mentioned, maybe she needs a smaller house. Maybe she doesn't need it anymore. Maybe she's moving into an assisted living or some senior housing. I mean, there could be all kinds of reasons. That's what we want to drive the decision making. When I get clients that come into me and they're just all taxes, it's all they want to talk about, and they want to pull out of me these tax strategies to, you know, minimize taxes. And when, because everybody wants a little bit of that. But when I get the sense that that's the end all be all, I sit down and have a conversation with the client. Let's think about, why do you want to do this particular thing? What do you want to have happen to your money? How do you want to handle this? Who do you want to give it to? Who do you want to donate it to? Who, is there possible for you to enjoy this while you're alive? Or just that needs to be the priority, what their goals are. And when I found myself talking to myself, I'm really thinking, I wish I'd have said, you know, what needs to be the priority is God and what God wants and what God tells us to do. So I was almost wanting to add words to my mouth on the video. So now I'm doing it on the show.
Well, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I also think that I found out this week that one of the definitions of weak biblically in Hebrew is that it has to do with the way you talk to yourself. So if you put Jesus in front of your mouth and you got Jesus talking, you're strong. But most of our weakness comes from what we've talked ourselves out of. And when it comes to money, it's really a place that we're weak if we allow ourselves to talk ourselves into a strategy without first asking Jesus what it is that would be the strong thing to do.
Yeah, and you're doing that when you're asking yourself or your financial planner, what do you really want to do? What do you want to accomplish with this money, with this asset? I mean, what would selling it do for you? Why do you want to do that? What's going to come as a result of that? And then how are we going to invest that? What are we going to do? How's that going to benefit you? How's that going to benefit God? How's that going to benefit your family? And then once we get through all that part of it, then let's sit back and say, what's the tax effect of that? And then we might sit down and say, whoa, no, we don't want to do that, because if we, you know, if we waited till after your death and then we gave it to your kids, then your kids are going to pay substantially less taxes. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it becomes wrong when it becomes the main event. And I have some people that I've really not taken on as clients just because, I mean, they watch my stuff and they think, man, this guy knows how to beat the tax deal. I mean, and I do have some pretty nifty strategies. They're all legal, they're all above board, and they're all intended by government. But if that's all somebody wants to talk about, they're not going to get very far with me.
Right. Because, again, it gets back to the main event is to, you know, have life and life abundant. And that includes God in every aspect. It's a beautiful thing. But also, I just love the whole idea of hidden treasure. You know, when you find these things that you see, wow, this is of great worth, especially for that family that thought they had this hurdle that they didn't know how they were going to climb. And then all of a sudden, wow, you know, they can sell, like in the case of the two sisters that don't get around, you know, and oh, man, if we pull this hurdle out of the way, then they can take this asset out from between the two of them and they can work on their relationship rather than argue over what's going to happen with the property.
Absolutely. Family farms is where this stuff applies. Small businesses, families where the last generation was well off enough to own a beach house or a mountain house or some type of vacation home, and those have gone berserk. And so a lot of older people, as they're doing estate planning, they want to give this to the kids. And then many times they're talking about selling it because they know it's worth so much. And, you know, then I'm going to sit down and I'm going to say that, you know, that we got to look at the tax effect and the tax bill that's due depending upon when we sell this, because we could rent it until your death and create a bunch of cash flow that'll come to you. And then it'll then when you pass away, then your kids will inherit that place as you wanted, and they'll not have to pay any capital gains taxes.
It's hidden treasure. And as always, this is brought to you by Cardinal Guide. Go to cardinalguide.com. You can see the video at YouTube. And again, just go to cardinalguide.com. It's got all your stuff right there. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Finishing Well is a general discussion and education of the issues facing retirees. Cardinalguide.com, Cardinal Advisors, and Hans Scheil, CFP, sell insurance. This show does not offer investment products or investment advice.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's cardinalguide.com. CardinalGuide.com.
This is the Truth Network.